Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. It is written, and he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. It is written, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. His word is like fire consuming. His word is a hammer to break. His word is a sword with two edges. His word like a light you can take. His word is against the false prophets. His word is opposed to all sin. His word will endure forever. His word will the victory win. His word is both written and living. His word will outlive sword and pen. His word is his eternal edict. His word is the yea and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, behold, one greater than Jonah is here. The story of Jonah and the big fish is perhaps the most ridiculed story in the Bible. But now at long last, absolute proof has been found by the archaeologist that Jonah was indeed swallowed by a fish of gigantic proportions. Did you read that story how the scholars have dug down on a dig and found buried deep in the sands of Joppa the skeletal remains of a humongous denizen of the deep, and that they have found twisted in his ribs and teeth several strands of hair, and tests have positively measured the strata of the depth and know that this creature had been there for over 1,000 years before Christ. Furthermore, DNA tests have indicated that the hair is the hair of a Hebrew of that time frame. I said perhaps you think I will tell you that, but I'm not. There is proof, however. The proof to which I refer is the spiritual archaeologist has dug down deep into the gospel story, and they have come up with the words of Jesus. They dug them up, where Jesus said, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall stand up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, one greater than Jonah is here. So if Jesus believed that story, that's good enough for me. he believed it was a true historical event. After all, do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus? If you believe that, what's the big deal? If God can raise the dead, bringing a man alive out of the fish's belly, that would be a minor problem. Now, what kind of a fish was it that the Lord prepared to swallow Jonah? Well, he prepared the fish so the Lord could have done anything he wanted to. Perhaps it was an enlarged minnow with a thyroid problem. Maybe the fish was a holy mackerel. It could have been either one, since God prepared for the occasion. However, it really doesn't make a whale of a lot of difference, one way or the other. The Lord also said that the men of Nineveh would stand up in the judgment with that generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, one greater than Jonah is here. The men of Nineveh will condemn this generation also for the following reasons. For one thing, Jesus was greater than Jonah in obedience. The Lord told Jonah to go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found the ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The command that God gave Jonah threw him into a panic. What command of God today causes you to panic? Perhaps for some it is the matter of a simple obedience to the plan of salvation. One lady in my community was taught that Peter and Paul and the Lord Jesus had taught that with faith and repentance it was also necessary to be immersed to be saved. I suppose we could say she panicked. She said, "I will go to hell before I'll be immersed." Actually, a message on the repentance that goes before baptism would make most people throw a fit. So Jonah went down to Joppa and found a ship bound for Tarshish. Jonah made good connections at Joppa because the devil was his travel agent. A boat was waiting for him. The devil will always cooperate with you in any act of disobedience. He will simply supply the boat. He will supply drugs. He will supply a woman. He will supply a man. He will supply a bottle, you name it, and the devil will get it for you. No problem. He found a boat bound for Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof. The devil does not give anybody a free ride. You will pay the fare thereof. Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, and they paid the fare thereof. Think of it. Adam was the only man who ever lived who remembered what it was like to live in paradise. And he remembered it every day for over 900 years. He paid the fare thereof. Smoke cigarettes, and you will pay the fare thereof. It may be delayed for about 30 years, but you will pay. Shoot cocaine, and you will pay the fare thereof. Live with somebody without benefit of marriage, and you will pay the fare thereof. America can get soft on the death penalty, and she will pay the fare thereof. In increased violence on our streets, pay no attention to these stupid people who will tell you that the death penalty will not deter crime. We have not used it to any degree for the past 40 years, and people are getting more violent every day. America has paid the fare thereof. When Jonah disobeyed God, he ran into difficulty. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. The person who does the will of God has the wind of the Holy Spirit. behind him. Remember the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended from heaven as a rushing of a mighty wind. To walk through life against the will of God is like trying to walk against the force of a hurricane, but when you walk with God, you have the wind at your back. Notice the spiritual journey of Jonah. He went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship. He went down into the sides of the ship and was fast asleep. When he was thrown overboard, he said he went down beneath the mountains. His spiritual odyssey was down, 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 and that is the spiritual journey of all who go against the wind. Down, 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 all the way to hell. Jesus was greater than Jonah in obedience. He told the apostles when they inquired if he had eaten, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his work." In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Behold, one greater than Jonah is here. Now we notice that Jesus was also greater than Jonah as a preacher. Jonah was a great preacher. He had a talent that must have been phenomenal. It would be sufficient to say that when the Lord would send a preacher to the task of preaching to Nineveh, he chose to get the best man he could for the job. Notice what God told Jonah to do. "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Nineveh was a great city in area. It was about 18 miles long and 11 miles wide, and Jonah was sent to cry against it. A great preacher in the sight of the Lord is one who will cry against sin, and there was plenty to cry against. Most preachers today don't cry against anything. It is considered insensitive to cry against the sexual deviate. It is considered insensitive to cry against the practice of living together without marriage. If referred to at all, we must choose our words carefully and call it a relationship, or at least no worse than having an affair. The Bible calls it fornication and adultery. Unless we call it what it is, they will not get the message. Preachers no longer cry against the sin of wearing a denominational name. Does anyone cry against sprinkling as a scriptural form, as an unscriptural form of baptism? There is no end of things and issues that need to be cried against. After Jonah disobeyed the Lord and was vomited up by the big fish, the Lord sent him again and said, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto them the preaching that I bid thee." The preaching that he had been bidden to do was to cry against it. Jonah cried against the city and told them, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed." It doesn't seem that the people told Jonah that he did not show any love in his preaching. They believed God and repented. Even the king got in on it. The king said, "But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands." Jonah was a great preacher in spite of the fact that he did not care whether the people he preached to repented or not. But Jesus is a greater preacher than Jonah. One time the chief priests and Pharisees sent some officers to take Jesus. They came back empty-handed, and they were asked, "Why did not ye bring him?" The officers answered, "Never man so spake." Suppose George Washington had said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Suppose Abraham Lincoln had said, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life." Suppose Thomas Jefferson had said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." How many people would have taken them seriously? But stand at the open grave and hear Jesus say, "I am the resurrection and the life." Stand at the communion table and hear Jesus say, "This is my body, this is my blood." Listen to Jesus tell us that he has gone to prepare a place for us, and our reaction is summed up in the words of the song. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Behold, one greater than Jonah is here. Jesus is also greater than Jonah in evangelism. Jonah was a great preacher, but he had some weird ideas on evangelism. When he was told to go to Nineveh, he rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord and go to Tarshish. Jonah's idea of evangelism was to preach only to the Hebrews. He tried to go to Tarshish. Tarshish was at the other end of the Mediterranean Sea. Joppa was at the eastern end of that sea. Tarshish was on the far west, as far as he could go, all the way to the southern coast of Spain, near the Rock of Gibraltar. There was a sign at that point at one time that read, "Ne plus ultra." There is nothing beyond. If Jonah had known there was in fact something beyond, that would be known as the USA, he would not have been satisfied to stop at Tarshish. He would have tried to go as far as Miami Beach, and from there all the way to Las Vegas. And then he could have been as far away from God as he could ever be, with the exception of hellfire. Perhaps most folk would not blame him for not wanting to preach to the Ninevites. They were a cruel and violent people. In the prayer of repentance of the king of Nineveh, he mentioned their violent nature. He said, "But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto the Lord. Yea, let them turn from their evil way and from the violence of their hands." I've seen a sketch of the cruelty of these people in a history book. The sketch showed people lined up who were conquered before their captors, and as they passed by a certain place, their eyes were gouged out. This is the kind of people that Jonah had no desire to evangelize. Jesus was greater than Jonah in evangelism. He wants the violent people of America evangelized. In the Great Commission of Matthew, Jesus told the apostles, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." In the book of Mark, he told them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." According to Luke, he said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Jesus wants all nations, according to Matthew, every creature, according to Mark, and all nations, according to Luke, to hear his word, his gospel. Now, how do you feel about evangelism? Do you feel like Jesus or Jonah? Do you want the gospel preached to all people everywhere, or just middle-class white suburbia in their multi-million-dollar buildings? The white folk are outnumbered. This is no time to circle the wagons and be on the defensive. Take the gospel and bust out of suburbia and go with God. Behold, one greater than Jonah is here. Jesus was also greater than Jonah as a savior. During the great tempest, when the ship was like to be broken, the sailors threw out the wares of the ship to lighten it. Actually, the only thing on board heavy enough to sink the ship was Jonah. If a producer of a play would find an actor to play Jonah, for typecasting, he ought to pick a man that at least weighed 600 pounds. Jonah carried more weight all by himself than anything else in the ship that they threw overboard. And ladies and gentlemen, all of us carry a lot of weight of influence on somebody. We all carry enough weight of influence to carry many of our associates even to heaven or to hell. They cast lots, and the lots fell upon Jonah. They asked him what they should do. And he said unto them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Jonah was willing to die that others on the boat might come out of the storm and live. But before they took him up on this generous offer, they tried to save themselves by their own works. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. The action of the sailors is a microcosm of our experience in the storms of life. Row, row, row your boat. Row as hard as you can, and you will never, by your own power, come out of the sin storm. Like these sailors, you need a Savior that can do that for you, that can do what you cannot do. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The fish that swallowed up Jonah had a hard time holding him down. The great fish probably told the other fish, "Boys, I ate something rotten. It was the worst thing I ever tasted. I have suffered with it for 3 days." And then he threw it up. One time I read a three-volume account of the various trips Columbus made to the New World. On one trip, he sent a scouting party ashore, and one of the men in the scouting party was a priest. The natives happened to be cannibals, and they ate him, and they killed him and ate him. They stewed him, I guess. Some of them got sick. Thereafter, when Columbus sent a scouting party out, he always included a preacher in the group, because the cannibals who got sick on one preacher would never eat preacher again. Ladies and gentlemen, a preacher who won't be faithful to the proclamation of God's word will make a fish sick. Jonah was a savior of a few sailors on that one boat, but Jesus is a savior of all of those who will book passage on the old ship of Zion. From every tribe and tongue and nation they will come. Last of all, Jesus was greater than Jonah in the sign. Behold, one greater than Jonah is here. The real secret of the great success of Jonah was in the sign. Jesus said in Luke that Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites. He had no quartet. He had no high-tech sound system to preach to the masses at Nineveh. He had no organization. He had no groups of people who would guarantee an audience. His power was the sign. People heard what happened to him, and they were willing to listen to a man who had been swallowed by the great fish and vomited up alive. That sign gave credence to his message. The power of the message of Christ is in the fulfillment of that sign, the resurrection of Jesus. A preacher's message today without the resurrection is a powerless message. A message without our own resurrection from the watery grave is a powerless message. These days, I hear many preachers court the popularity of the congregation by offering an insipid invitation like this: "If you have a decision, come forward." Come forward for what? An invitation like that is enough to gag a fish. If the great fish that swallowed Jonah could get a mouthful of preacher like that, he would never be able to get him down. In Romans, Paul states it for us in words that cannot be misunderstood without professional help. "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, and Jesus is the fulfillment of that sign unto us. Jesus said, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet." Jesus is our sign of salvation, and the only sign we will ever get. Behold, one greater than Jonah. is here. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.